Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. I'd like to read you just a short passage of Scripture, beginning in verse number 23. A very familiar passage, and I began reading this and studying this out and meditating over it, and God spoke to my heart about something. And I'd like to bring you a message entitled, What Every Believer Should Do When the Storm Comes. What Every Believer Should Do When the Storm Comes. My friends, there's storms coming. We know that there are storms coming for each and every one of our lives personally, but prophetically, there are some major storms that are coming. And the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 23, And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Christian, what are you going to do when the storm comes? Let's bow forward to prayer. Lord, I pray that as we enter into this time, as we think about your word, meditate on it, give us something today. Impress upon every heart the necessity of drawing close to the Savior. I pray, Lord, if there is anyone in our midst that's lost, Lord, before they stand before Thee, I pray that they would come to know Thee as Savior. And Lord, we ask and pray that every child of God would prepare themselves for the certain storms that are going to come. Guide and direct, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, several months ago, we heard on the news that there was a storm front that was going to be coming through our area. Hours before the storm came, there was warnings about severe straight-line winds that was going to come. Some people heeded it. Some people didn't pay any attention. I was one of the ones that didn't really pay a whole lot of attention. We've heard it all before, right? Well, you know, there's going to be a storm, and then there was just a little bit of a breeze and a little bit of rain. No big deal. And so I just kind of took it, no big deal. It's not going to be anything big. And so my wife and my mother-in-law actually had a doctor's appointment down in Fremont. They were down in Fremont, down at the hospital, and all of a sudden, the sky got real black. And then the tornado siren started going off. And then the wind picked up. And then my wife called and said, get to the basement. They've spotted, funnel clouds, and there's just bad winds. It was on the radio and the news, 100-mile-an-hour straight-line winds. And then the power went out. About that time, I said, okay, Lord, maybe I will go to the basement. And so me and the dog, we went down to the basement. I left the cat upstairs to fend for itself. And you like that, all right? So anyway, the cat's going to do whatever the cat's going to do. But, the dog was just a puppy. He needed to be taken care of. So we went down to the basement, and we rode the storm out. And electric went out, and then about halfway through the storm, the storm was just about over. My wife called me and said it was just looked like a war zone down in Fremont. Trees were down, power lines were down, people were out of electric. Some of the people were out for about a week, and it was a very bad storm, and a fierce storm that blew through. And like I said, personally, I just said, you know what? We've heard all this before, haven't we? Sometimes we hear on the news and we hear on the weather reports and we say, oh yeah, there's going to be a blizzard come through. Blizzard Bill has, told us there's going to be a blizzard. And, then we get a half inch of snow and hardly no wind at all. And, I think we've become numb to all that, haven't we? I think we've heard the weather forecast so much, and we've heard the hysteria on the news media, that no longer do we listen to it. Not only is it with the weather forecast, but I think that with the preaching of the Word of God, preachers have stood behind the pulpits and they said, you know what? The judgment of God is going to come and God is going to lower the hammer down upon this old world. And we've just said, you know what? We've heard it all before, and we just kind of ignore it. That's dangerous. Because the storms are coming. The storms are coming. What's the Christian going to do when the storms come? And I want to share with you this morning what the Lord gave me out of this passage about four things that you as an individual can do when the storms come. I don't know what type of storm is coming in your life. It might be a financial storm. There might be a storm that's going to come into your life that's going to play havoc with your health. You know, one of the worst things that we can hear from a doctor, it's cancer. Or maybe some other debilitating disease. And we don't know what type of storms are going to come into your life. It might be a wayward child. It might be marital problems. We've all heard about all the things that are going on over in the Middle East, and people have said, preacher, how does all this fit into with Syria? And I've been doing some study on that. Lord willing, one of these days I'm going to bring a message on what the Bible has to say about the Bible prophecy in Syria. But let me just say this about Syria. Syria belongs to Israel. And if you study it out, every place that Abraham's foot tread upon, God was going to give to the children of Israel forever. That was part of Syria. Syria was a great outreach for the gospel. That's where the apostle Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, which is Syria. Ananias, which was a strong Christian, lived in Damascus. It was a great stronghold, Syria and Damascus and Antioch. There were strongholds for Christianity. And I'm just saying, if we look at what's going on over the Middle East, what's going on over in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, and what's going on in Syria and Jordan and Israel and the Gaza Strip, what's going on over in Egypt and Libya, all of those things are preparing this world for a storm like this world has never seen before. A storm that's going to sweep upon this world. The Bible describes this time as a time of Jacob's trouble. A time like there has never been before upon the face of the earth, according to Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 21. A time of great tribulation. I'm here to tell you there are storms that are coming. And I don't know what personally the storm you're going to deal with, but I know prophetically there are some major storms that are going to hit this world, and we need to go ahead and be prepared. Amen? So what can I do? Before the storm comes, I think every wise person ought to make preparations. You know, one of the things that you always see whenever the hurricanes, by the way, the National Oceanic Association or whatever, NOAA they call it, they predicted, I think there was 13 storms, five of which were going to be major storms here hitting the United States as far as hurricanes. You know how many we've had so far? Zero. You know what that tells me? It's only a guess. They don't know. But I'm here to tell you, when the storms come, and they say, you know what, there's a hurricane that's heading for Florida. There's a hurricane heading for New Orleans. You know what everybody does? They go out and they buy plywood. They buy OSB. They go ahead and they nail up the windows. They lock down everything that could blow away. Why? Because they make preparations for the storm. They want to make sure that they reduce the amount of loss as much as possible. There are storms coming in this world. And I believe a person needs to make preparations before the storms comes. That's number one. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse 23. The Bible says, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Jesus is God. Amen? God knows the beginning from the end. Did Jesus know there was a storm that was coming before He entered into the ship? Yes, He did. He was God. He knew that there was a storm coming. Matter of fact, He was so secure in what was going to happen, He just laid down and went to sleep. May I remind you that nothing frightens God. And God was at perfect peace even though He knew the storm was coming. So the very first thing I think we need to understand is this. Make preparations before the storm. You say, how do I do that? Number one, the disciples followed Him into the ship. What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a follower. You know, you talk to a lot of people today, you go out and knock on doors, you talk to family or friends about their relationship with the Lord, and they say, oh yeah, I know the Lord is my Savior. I know the Lord. Yeah, but is Jesus Christ Lord of their life? Amen? A disciple is not just someone that says, oh yeah, I'm a follower of the Lord. A disciple is someone that follows the Lord. Amen. It's not just someone that'll say, you know what? Yeah, I know the Lord is my Savior. It's someone that'll actually follow the Savior. That's what a disciple is. And the question this morning is, before the storm comes, are you following the Lord? Are you following Him and everything that He wants you to do? You see, there's a lot of people today that only serve God on Sunday mornings. And they serve Him with lip service, but they don't go ahead and serve God in every aspect of their life. May I suggest to you today that a person that is going to survive and thrive during the storm is those individuals who will go ahead and they will follow the Lord regardless of where He goes. They were not just disciples in name only. They were disciples in practice because they followed Him. Storms are coming. Are you willing to follow Christ? There is only one way the believer is going to survive and thrive during the storms, and that is to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse number 23, and He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to go ahead and deny yourself. You know, there's a lot of things I'd like to do in this world. Every time I see these new advertisements come out in the fall about new cars, I tell you what, I have a fetish about new cars. They've got this new, brand new Infiniti that came out called a Q50. Man, is it slick. I'm telling you what, it's got all the bells and whistles on it. It'll even tell you if there is an accident three cars ahead of you, and it warns you if there's an accident. That's pretty neat. They've got these other cars now that'll park themselves. And I can park a vehicle. It doesn't make any difference. But just the idea, just push a button and it'll just back up itself. That's kind of a neat thing, you know, especially for people that can't drive. And I think it would be good for them to have that feature on their vehicle. I see these other vehicles and they've got all kinds of electronic gadgets. I don't know how to work the things, but they sure do look neat to look at them on the advertisements. I'm just here to tell you, you know, there's things that entice us in this world. I was looking online at some new cowboy boots. I wore my other pair out. And I thought, man, I'd love to get a pair of these Cayman cowboy boots. They're an ox blood red and they just really sharp alligator boot. But $450 is the cheapest I could find. And I said, I can't spend $450 on a pair of boots. You know, that's just too much money. But you know, there's things out there that entice us. Cars and clothing and all the frills of this world. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. He said in Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now listen, today you might be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you might be forgiven. But listen, you can be saved and you can be forgiven and not a disciple of Christ. You can go ahead and be forgiven and not be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for His forgiveness. Amen. Thank God that He is willing to save whosoever will. But I'm here to tell you, if we're going to go ahead and survive and we're going to thrive during the storm, then what we need to do, we need to make sure that we make preparation beforehand, and that preparation is this. We need to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the storm comes, you need to make two preparations. You need to make sure that you're saved. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? You need to make sure that you're saved. I was talking to a man yesterday, and I said, his stepdaughter got saved a few weeks ago in junior church, Esther led her to the Lord. And I said, are you saved? He says, well, I think so. He says, when I was 7 years old, I got saved at St. Louis Baptist Church. I said, St. Louis Baptist Church, where's that? He says, in Toledo. Oh, no, no. He says, it's Lewis Avenue Baptist Church. He said, and I said, oh, okay, okay. And I said, well, what did you tell me about your salvation experience? He said, what do you mean? I said, what did you understand when you got saved? He says, I really don't remember. I said, do you want to stand before God with an experience that you had when you were 7 years old, not knowing anything that you understood about that experience? And I said, when you stand before God now, do you want to have and tell the Lord, well, you know, when I was 7 years old, I did something I don't really understand or even remember. And he says, boy, I don't think I'd want to stand before God that way. So before I left, he bowed his head and asked the Lord to save him. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you better make sure before the storm comes you get saved. Amen. Storms are coming. Be saved, be truly born again. You know, some people put all of their stock in their finances. I want you to just take a minute. Look at James chapter 5. I want you to see something. James chapter 5. And I want you to see what's going to happen to finances. James chapter number 5, in verse number 1, it says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you. Notice it says, shall come. That's future. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Notice the last part of this verse. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on earth and have been wanting. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Now look at verse number 7. Be patient therefore, who? Brethren. Who's he writing to? He's writing to believers. He's writing to believers. He says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. If they are saved, which I believe he's writing to saved people, and he tells them to be patient unto the coming of the Lord, it's not talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation period, but it's talking about the rapture of the redeemed. He says, be patient therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. If you study this passage of Scripture out, you're going to find that this passage is teaching us that the Lord is going to be coming back. But before the Lord comes back, gold and silver is going to be cankered, and the rust of them is going to come up as a witness before them. That tells me this, Christian. I believe before the rapture of the redeemed, there is going to come an economic time of trouble in this world. And we need to go ahead and not put all of our eggs in the financial basket of this world. We need to be laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. Listen, my heavenly home is bright and fair. That's where I need to go ahead and put up my treasure, amen? Because all the treasure that we can lay up in this world, when the trumpet sounds, you're going to leave it all behind, amen? It's all going to be left behind. Those brand new vehicles and those brand new clothes and those brand new boots, they're all going to be left behind. But listen, one thing is not going to be left behind, and that's the souls that we can take to heaven with us that we win to Christ. And so, number one, you make preparations before the storm. You make sure that you're saved. You make sure that you're born again. And then number two, you make sure that you follow Christ in everything. Let Jesus Christ not only be Savior of your life, you let Him be Lord of your life. Amen? That's how you're going to survive through the storm. That's how you're going to thrive in the storm. Now look at verse number 24. So number one, you make preparations before the storm. Matthew chapter number 8, look at verse number 24. After His disciples followed Him into the ship, it says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep." The second thing I think you need to understand, and I think that every believer should do in a storm, is this. You need to remember, as a believer, you are not exempt. You know, there's a lot of people during these tornado outbreaks or maybe the hurricanes. You see these people hunkering down. There's a Category 5 of 210 mile an hour heading towards, the coastline of Florida. And they say, you know what? I'm going to be fine. I'll ride it out. They're an idiot. Amen? Go ahead and leave. 210 miles per hour wind? I mean, there is no home that's going to survive those things. Maybe the idiot is not the proper terminology. Maybe it ought to be more dignified. You can go ahead and fill in the blank, all right? But listen, I think we need to understand that Christians are not exempt. We are not exempt from the storms. I heard someone say, well, you know, someone told me if I got saved, all my problems would go away. They lied to you. Amen? Just because you're saved doesn't mean that all your problems are going to go away, because they're not. And a lot of people have this idea, well, because I'm a believer, I'm exempt from the storm. Were the apostles exempt from the storm? Every one of the apostles suffered martyrdom. Peter was crucified upside down. Some of them were beaten to death. Some of them were hung. John, the beloved, they boiled him in a pot of oil and it didn't kill him, so they put him on the Isle of Patmos to die. Isaiah, according to history, they shoved Isaiah inside of a hollow log. And then they cut the log in half and killed him. That's how the prophet Isaiah died. The apostle Paul, they beheaded him. I don't think there was a finer Christian than the apostle Paul. That's my personal opinion. Are Christians exempt from the storms? No. Fanny Crosby, great writer of the hymns that are in our hymn book, was actually blinded because a doctor put the wrong medicine in her eyes as a child. Are we exempt from the storms? No. Adamira Judson, missionary to Burma, India. Went to Burma, sailed around the tip of Africa, finally got there. His wife got tuberculosis, his children got tuberculosis, they died. A military uprising came, they imprisoned him. He finally got out, he went back to England, met someone, got remarried, ended up going back to the mission field, and there his wife got sick and he got imprisoned again. His family died. And finally, after a long period of time, he ended up getting out. He went back to England. He remarried again. And he went back to Burma. And then he was imprisoned. During that time, I think they said he had two converts. Most people would look at him and say, you know what? He's a missionary failure. But then he got out. And through his efforts, thousands of people came to know Christ. Was Adam Ira Judson exempt from the storm? I don't think so. I think of individuals down through the ages. Lester Roloff, a great Christian down in Texas that had a men's home and a women's home and a children's home down there, was constantly tormented by the state of Texas. And yet he endured the storms. I think of others like missionary Jim Elliott, who went to the Aucca Indians down in the Ecuador area. And they flew their plane in there. They met with the Indians that were there. And all of a sudden, they rose up against them and slew them. Are missionaries and Christians, are they exempt? I don't think so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it." Now we need to understand this morning, God has got a purpose for the storms that come in your life. Now I don't know what type of storms that you've been through, but I know this, that God has got a purpose. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." So if God allows a storm to come in, God has got a purpose for that storm. Amen? Say, what are the storms for? Well, I think there's several things we can understand about storms. Number one, storms are known of God. Amen? God knows all things. He knows everything from the beginning, from the end. The person of Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. But Jesus, the Son of God, knew exactly what was going to happen. Amen? We find that storms are known of God. Storms are necessary for our good. It is only through the storms of life do we see the power of God that's working in us and through us and in this world. Amen? Number three, storms we are seen by God during the storm. There was another storm that came up in Matthew chapter number 14. And He sent the disciples ahead on the ship. And then Jesus came walking to them on the ship. And the Bible says that when He saw them, it says in Matthew chapter number 14, "But when the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them." What does that tell me? It tells me this. Jesus knew exactly where they were at. Amen? And that tells me Jesus knows exactly where you are at. Ray, God knows exactly where you're at. Jeannie, God knows exactly where you're at. He knows where all of us are at. Amen? He knows where all of us are at. And He knows where the storm's at. And Jesus came to them walking on the sea. In Matthew 14, verse number 25, we find that Jesus met with them during the storm. We find in Matthew chapter number 8 that Jesus met with them and He rebuked the wind and the waves. And by the way, if Jesus Christ can calm the Sea of Galilee, don't you think He can calm the storms in your life? Amen? God can calm the storms in your life. Number five, the power of God is seen during the storms. Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves. I want you to notice the third thing. Number one, we need to make preparations before the storm. Number two, we need to understand that you are not exempt because you're a child of God. Because the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. Number three, when the storm comes, you better make sure that you're as close to the Lord as possible. You better make sure that you're as close to the Lord as possible. You know, many times Christians and their lives completely fall apart because when the storm comes, they are distant from God. They can't get a hold of God. They don't know where God's at. They don't know how God is working in their lives. And so when the storm comes, they completely fall apart. Sometimes Christians will even in despair take their own lives because of the simple fact they're not close to the Lord when the storm comes. I think that when the storm comes, every believer should be as close to the Savior as possible. God knew there was a storm coming in Noah's day. He told Noah, He said, I want you to prepare an ark because there's a storm coming. You see, Noah, he survived the storm because what it says in Genesis chapter number 6, verse 8 and 9, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And so therefore, Noah knew what was going to happen because he walked with God and God revealed the judgment that was going to come. And so Noah and his family survived the storm of all history. When the storm comes, you better make sure that you're close to the Lord. Be close in your walk. How's your walk, Christian? Are you walking with Him? You know, you can learn a lot about people when you walk with them. All of a sudden, you start sharing your heart. I think the Christian needs to walk with God. Walk with the Lord. When we walk with the Lord, we're not going to be questioning His authority. We're not going to be questioning the Lord's motives. We need to be close in our walk. We need to be close in our prayer life. You see, they could cry out to God because they were close to God in that ship. Be close in your prayer life. Christian, don't let sin hinder you when you need to pray. And sin will do that. Many times we get in a very difficult situation and then we cry out to God and we say, Lord, my life is falling apart and Lord, I need You to fix this. But we are distant from God, and because sin has come into our life, God does not answer our prayers. In Psalm 101, verse number 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. The Bible tells us in Psalm 66 and verse number 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Let me repeat that. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. Listen, my friend, are you righteous before God? Are you living a righteous life? Are you living a holy life? Or are you living in sin as a child of God? Listen, the person that is out drinking and carousing and doping, don't you think that God's going to go ahead and answer their prayers? They are living a wicked lifestyle. People that are living in adultery and fornicating, God is not going to answer their prayers because it's a wicked lifestyle, amen? People that are abusive to their spouse and they're abusive to their children, don't you think for a minute that God's going to answer their prayers because they're living a wicked lifestyle? And God's people said, amen. We need to understand today that if we live a wicked life contrary to God's Word, then God's not going to answer our prayers. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse number 9, he that turneth his ears away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That tells me this, Christian, that if a person, they refuse to listen to what God has to say, and then they call out to God and say, Lord, I've got a favor. God says, your prayer is an abomination to me. You say, boy, that's pretty tough. I'm just trying to tell you, Christian, you need to know what to do when the storm comes. You need to make preparation ahead of time. You need to understand that you're not exempt. And when the storm comes, you need to be as close to the Savior as possible. You need to be close in your walk. You need to be close in your prayer life. And so many times when the storm comes in a Christian's life, they are not close to God. And they fall apart. God help us. And finally, look at verse number 25, the last part of verse 25 through 27. The Bible says in verse 24 that he was asleep. Oh, the person of Christ was asleep, but God was not asleep. God knew what was going on. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the seas, and there was a great calm. When the storm comes, Christian, you need to learn to rest in the power of God. What could the disciples do? They couldn't do anything. They were in the middle of the sea. They were in a boat, which was in the middle of the sea. They could, if they could holler and yell and scream and cry, you know what was going to happen? They were still going to be in the sea. They were going to still be in the storm. You know what happens a lot of times? Christians, they get in the middle of the storm and they fuss and they feud and they fight with God and they cry and they whine and complain. And you know what it does? Nothing. It doesn't do anything. But you know, we're content and we feel happy about ourselves because we whined and complained. I got a sign in my office that says there'll be a $5 charge for whining. I'm going to start implementing that when people come to my office and start, they want counseling. Amen. What good does all that do? When the storm comes, we need to go ahead and we need to get close to God, and then we need to rest in the power of God. The disciples didn't have to fear. Why? Because God was near. Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 28, Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. In Psalm 56, verse number 4, in God will I praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. In Psalm 118, verse number 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. In Psalm 46, and verse number 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. You know, the child of God doesn't have to fear. I don't have to fear what's coming in the tribulation period. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be here. Now, I am fearful for those that are going to be left behind. You say, well, you think days are going to get rough before the rapture takes place? Good possibility. It's not going to be the tribulation period. But I'm telling you, it could get tough. Storms are coming. Storms are coming. For each and every one of us, the storm might be a little bit different. It might be an economic crisis. It might be a health crisis. It might be a family crisis. We don't know, but the storms are coming, and you are not exempt. And when the storm comes, you better make sure, number one, you're saved. Number two, you better make sure that you are close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Storms are coming. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're close to the Savior. Someone once said, if you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look before. If you want to be delivered, look to Christ. If you want to be delighted, look up. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. And that song that Brother Joe led us in this morning, I will not fear. Though the waters come and the floods come and the fires come, I will not fear. Why? Because He knows my name and He's called me by my name. Paul Rader, a long time ago, wrote this little poem. He said, fear not, little flock. He goeth ahead. Your shepherd selecteth the path you must tread. The waters of Marah He'll sweeten for thee. He drank all the bitterness in Gethsemane. Fear not, little flock, whatever your lot. He enters all rooms, the doors being shut. He never forsakes, He is never gone. So count on His presence in darkness or dawn. What are you trusting in this morning? There is a storm coming. I hope you'll put your faith and trust in Christ. Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and with every eye closed. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, in just a moment we're going to give an old-fashioned invitation. We're going to invite you to come and trust Christ as your Savior if you're not saved. The storm is coming. Make sure you're saved. And Christian, the storm is coming. You better make sure you're close to the Savior. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there anyone here that could say with every head bowed and every eye closed, how many could raise their hand and say, "Preacher, would you please pray for me? I'm not saved. I'm not saved." God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. I'm not saved. I understand the judgment of God is coming and there's going to be a storm and I need to get by that. And this is what you need to do. If you raised your hand during this invitation, you need to come and let me or someone else show you how to be saved. Don't put it off because you don't know when that storm is going to blow up. How many here with an uplifted hand could say, "Preacher, I'm not as close to God as what I should be. And if I'm going to survive this storm, I need to go ahead and get close to God. And I wish you'd pray for me because I'm not as close to God as what I should be." Can I see your hand this morning? God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask a couple fellas and a couple gals that know how to do altar work and pray with people. When I give the invitation, I want you to come. And you deal with these people. And you pray with them and show them how to be saved. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you just work in lives. Draw us to you. Help us, Lord, to be the type of people, Lord, you'd want us to be. Guide and direct now. Save those that are lost. And bring every child of God close to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, the piano and the organ begins to play. Would you come? If God has spoken to you, would you come right now? Christian, would you come? Workers, would you come? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, let someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that heaven is your eternal home. Would you come today? Would you come? Are you as close to God as what you need to be? Would you come this morning? If you raised your hand this morning, there is a place at the altar for you. Would you come if the Lord has spoken to you? Would you come? As Christians are praying, would you come? Are you going through a storm right now? Draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Would you come?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we are thankful, Lord, for your word today. I pray, Lord, that you'd use it in our lives and remind us day by day of the needed preparations that we need to have in our lives, for certainly the storms are coming. I pray, Lord, that when the storm passes by, that we will look back at it and say, all is well, because we were close to the Savior. I pray, Lord, now that you dismiss us from this place, but Lord, now from thy presence, Lord, I pray that we'd come back tonight, that we'd hear more about thee and thy blessed book. Help us, Lord, to live for you, and help us, Lord, to be the type of believers, Lord, that we need to be for Christ's sake. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Good to see you out today. Invite someone to come with you tonight, 6 o'clock, choir practice.